There. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
That's good. We've got Summer with us. A very warm welcome to. We've got visitors in this morning, so a very warm welcome. And old and new. So thank you for coming. It's a special morning this morning. Yes, it is a special morning, isn't it? Times are a-changing, you know. I was out walking the dogs and the geese were quacking away. I don't know whether you've noticed, but there's loads of them this last week. And this morning, there was about 8 different flocks came across as I was actually... Did you see them, John?
Yeah.
And they came across and they changed direction. And then they all grouped into 4 different groupings. 4 different arrows coming across the sky. Yeah. Is this God saying this is a time of coming together? Yeah, let's take a look at what's happening in the natural and we're saying the spiritual. We've got it coming through. Welcome to the Zoomies.
Hi.
We've got Mike and Yvonne. They're away on holiday.
Yeah.
But they've come in because it's a special morning. Not just because the geese are flying, but because Tom's getting baptized this morning.
Yeah.
A really special time. So... Well, you'll just have to go with it. It's going to flow somewhat differently this morning. Order's different. We're going to have, John's going to start off, then there's going to be a sharing time. But please, can I say we can be succinct this morning? We can't go on till 11:15 with sharings this morning. But we are given an opportunity for sharing, worship time. Pam's actually here, going to speak to us this morning, and then we'll be into baptism. We'll see. There's a meal at the end of the service. We'll have coffee at the end, sorry. And then there'll be a meal as well after that.
Good to be here on this very special day. This is your day, Tom. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, that we are here and can share with you this day. Just before I came out, the Holy Spirit usually has something for me, and it's this: you will be a bridge. Now, it's funny I should say that, and the Lord to tell me, because you, Sandy, said to me one day that I would be a bridge. And you might think, what is a bridge? It goes over something. It goes from there to there. And I believe that the Lord has been speaking to you for a long time, that he's been teaching you, that he's been strengthening you. He's supporting you. He is your bridge. You have an incredibly strong testimony that you will tell so many people, many of which will be your age. They will just come to you. God finds a way where there seems no way. He is the bearer of good things. He does things that we see as sort of impossible, really. But you will find words that you didn't even know you had. You will find a way of telling young men, young women, where they could be in Christ to meet the Saviour. So I think this is a very special day. I do believe the Holy Spirit is here now. I am shaking with the Holy Spirit on this occasion, because it is so incredibly special, Tom. And so really that's it. You are a bridge between those that don't believe and those that do. Expect God to speak to you. Expect God that he will speak so that you understand. You will understand, and you'll know it's him. That's it. This is the day the Lord has made, especially for you. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm up. Absolutely delighted to be here again.
Yes.
It doesn't seem that long ago that I was here, but I have a special excitement today because I've been asked to be here to watch Thomas being baptized. And I began to wonder if I was here to drag him out of bed to make sure that he got baptized today. Because I had a little chat with him and he said, you know what, Pam, I nearly didn't come. And I went, excuse me. You know, I didn't drive all this way for nothing. How about you? Well, I just want to share some things. I hardly slept a wink last night. That's Thomas's fault. Because I wanted to make sure he was absolutely saturated in God. Because I know that God is the person that will carry him through and has carried him through some of the trials and temptations that Thomas has had in his life. But I want to tell you that it all began many, many years ago. And it began with something like this. Now you're thinking, what on earth is she gonna do? Well, I love to frighten Robert. I get such a kick out of watching him, like, where is she going? What is she gonna do? Pam, it's about a baptism. But it actually began many years ago in the Garden of Eden, where Eve, I'm telling you, it was Eve, okay? Just so we don't fight. It was Eve who decided to take a bite of an apple that Jesus had asked her not to, that God had said, you can have anything you want in this world, but do not eat from that tree. Is that correct? That's what it says in my Bible. I've been reading it a very long time. So today I'm going to give you some apples. Now, I had no idea how many people were coming, but I went to a greengrocer's and we bought yesterday all the apples that were on the shelf. So I have a bag full. Please don't be offended if you don't get an apple. So I'm going to ask Robert and maybe someone else, Steph, if you just come and just give people an apple. Please. There you go. No, thank you. Just hurry up. I've only got half an hour. Do you know what? God is so faithful and he is so fruitful that he's caused us to multiply and to make disciples of men. You know, the reason I got baptized was because I knew that it was a commandment from Jesus. He did it, so I was going to do it. You know, and it was kind of follow the leader, and Jesus is my leader. He's the one that I trust in 24/7. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week. I ask him to help me do the most unusual things, like, you know, being a girly girl. I ask him to help me fasten my necklace, fasten my bracelet, because he gave us a helper called the Holy Spirit. So when you call upon him, he always helps you. If you're feeling a bit peckish, have a good look at your apple. I want you to look at it, because some of those apples, they're all different sizes and different colours. Some of them have got bruises. Thomas hasn't got one. Oh, he has. All right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely right. So if you look at your apple, some of those apples might be bruised, right? Some of those apples might have a brown spot on them. But I didn't give out the apples. So you can't blame me. But you know what? We've gone through life, right? We've all been born. We've gone through life and we have been bruised and we've been battered. And we might have brown spots on us. But hey ho, I know somebody that can cleanse that off of us and wipe it off of us so that we don't have all those bruises, all those frustrations, or even those little dints when, and I'm sorry, I repent on behalf of the churches, that we've been into churches and we've been hurt. I'm sorry that that happened to you. But I pray that today you can put all those things aside and say, God, would you be God in my life? God, would you be the God that strengthened Thomas to get over all the obstacles that he's still trying to climb over and jump over, and sometimes he might trip and stumble. But you know what? That's okay. Because the apple that was eaten had stuff attached to it. There were consequences of eating the apple, weren't there?
Yes.
And we don't always get things right. We're not going to be pure and spotless until we get to heaven. And I want to see everybody in heaven that's here today, and lots more. Because I know that Jesus came, and he died and he rose again. He died and he rose again because we are sinners. You know, I know you're not going to believe it, but I had to do an emergency stop on the way here. And I went, what a stupid person. She just flew out the road. And I went, what a stupid person. And then I heard God say, she's not stupid. And I went, well, did you see what she did to me? My handbag swung off the seat. I had to really do such a wham bang on my brake. I wasn't doing anything. I was driving just down a little road. And God said, that's my creation you're calling stupid. You see, he talks to me like that. And I repented straight away because I want to come here today and I want to tell you about Jesus, but I've already sinned. But it's okay because he says it's okay. You will make mistakes. It happened all those years ago, but it's okay. But when you come to me, I can heal you of your mistakes and I can forgive you and I can dust you off and I can put a sparkle back on your face. And I tell you this, I've watched Thomas, not very often, but the times that I've been here, I've been able to watch Thomas. And God has changed his countenance. And there's a joy that is around Thomas. Yes, he still has things to go through, but hey, what, so do I. And so do you. But when God came into Thomas's heart, and he's saying, Thomas, let me help you. Let me fill you with my Holy Spirit. Let me wipe away all those frustrations, anxieties, those I can't do's. And God's saying, son, I'll help you to do. I'm going to help you to do those things. He's going to help us when we accept him and say, okay, God, I got it wrong. Please come into my life. Please change my life. Please fill me anew with your Holy Spirit and give me the joy. Because, you know, it's the devil that takes away from us. It's the devil that's taken all your joy, all your hope, and all your strength. But when we come together and we've accepted Jesus into our lives, then there's a new hope, there's a new joy. That baby's got it, I'm telling you. He's got such a joy, he's bubbling over. It's great to hear. In this house, it's great to see young people and babies because there's a generation that God is rising up. You may not know it yet, but I'm telling you, there's a generation that are going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. They're going to just lay hands on the sick and they're going to see things happen. They're going to see people come off drugs. They're going to see things that we have never seen before manifest. And so is Thomas because he stood in the gap. You know, the bridge picture that the lady gave was a bridge over troubled waters. You know, we all, some of us are old enough to know that song. Not me, of course, you know. But, you know, God told us to be baptized. When we get baptized, it means we're washed. We're washed. Now, I am a cheeky person. You may know this already. So I dipped my hand in the water and it was not hot. It wasn't like getting into a bath or a nice hot shower. I'm just warning you, Thomas, you know, preparation brings results. You've tested it. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And John didn't want to do it because he didn't feel he had the anointing or the power or the strength. And you'll find that in Matthew 3, 13 to 17. But you know what? He got over himself. This is modern day English. It's not taken straight from the Bible. This is Pam talking, okay? And he got hold of Jesus, and I believe the power of God actually went through John when he touched Jesus. There was an anointing that happened in the River Jordan. And then Jesus was baptized by total immersion. And heaven opened up. Do you know what? When Thomas goes through that water, I'm waiting. I am ready and I'm waiting for the supernatural of God to take place in this building. We've seen many things, but we need to see more. And God is limitless to what he can do. You know, in Acts 2, it also says, repent and be baptized. What does repent mean? It's simple in my book. I'm sorry. That's all it means. I'm sorry I got it wrong and I'll try not to do it again. But I can't promise that I won't get it wrong again because I'm a human being. I actually think I'm a superhuman being. You're supposed to say yes, or we agree, or so am I. You know, come on. That every one of us that calls on the name of Jesus Christ, he will forgive us our sins, and he will fill us, and he will even give us a gift. Now, don't you think that's amazing? That he takes our sin, which is yuck and dirt and shame, our hopelessness, frustration, anxiety, and we could go on and on and on and on, all those things. And he says, as you give that to me, I'm going to give you something precious. And it's a gift from me. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. Like I said, he's a helper. He's a comforter. He's a friend. You know, I'm always driving. I drive a lot of journeys, you know, and I was looking at my car and it's already done 82,000 miles, like up and down, because I drive from Northumberland to London a lot. And every time I do that journey, I have this conversation with God. And it goes like this. No incidents, no accidents, no breakdown, and no delays, and no blowouts. So I know that I'm covered. Do you know that you're covered? When you do journeys, do you know that you're safe, that you're protected by God? Do you have that relationship with him that taps into a friendship that says, I've got your back? You don't need to worry about things. You know, David will be pleased because he told me he's getting on a plane. So he'll be pleased that he can get on that plane and make that declaration. You know, this plane will get me to my destiny and all those that travel with me safely and soundly. You know, I was on a plane not so long ago with a gentleman and his wife was sitting beside me. And he was absolutely petrified. Sorry, David. He was absolutely petrified and he was quite, you know, like a rugby player. Do you know what I mean? He was a good man, you know, sturdy and not a little weakling that was frail or anything else. But he was, you know, a tough looking cookie to me. And his wife sat next to him. He had the middle seat, which I hate the middle seat, you know, for other reasons. But anyway, he had the middle seat and he was a tall guy and, as I say, you know, quite big. And I took one look at him and I knew that this guy was full of fear. So I said to him, are you okay, sir? And he said, oh, nobody's ever called me sir. So I said, oh, well, there's a first time for everything. He said, oh, don't mention first times. I said, oh, why? He said, last time I was on a plane, he said, the plane was circling because our tire blew out and we were going to do an emergency landing. And he said, I was so afraid. I said, so what did you do when you were so afraid? He said, I didn't know what to do but squeeze the person's hand next to me that wasn't my wife. So I thought, okay, Pam, get ready for the squeeze. So I said, that's amazing, you know. And I said, obviously, you know, everything was fine because you're here to tell the story. He said, yeah, but let me tell you this. It was a year ago to the day and the exact time that we're about to fly. So Pam being Pam said, sir, again. He went, that's two times. And I said, yeah, that's twice. I've called you sir. I said, because I respect you. And I said, this plane will have a fantastic flight. It will be shorter than what is normal because we've got a tailwind today. And I said, and God is going to get us there quicker as well, just because of who you are. And he said, oh, really? You know, like, I'm next to a fruitcake, you know? And I said, absolutely, sir, three times. And he said, right, okay, so, you know, we're told, buckle up, get ready. We've gone through the procedures and everything. And he says, can I hold your hand? So I leaned forward and I looked at his wife and I said, he wants to hold my hand. She said, yeah, my hand hurts. And I said, okay, so he's got two of us. And I said, sir, let me tell you, I know that I know that I know Jesus isn't coming back today for me. I know that I have destiny. And I know I have a journey that will get me from here to the place we're going to in absolute amazing time and total, total safety. He went, wow. I said, because I know Jesus. And he isn't coming today to take me to heaven. He said, right, okay then. So we took off and he was like, you know, our three seats were trembling more than the takeoff. And I said, you need to calm down. Just calm down and receive peace. He went, wow. He said, that's amazing. He said, you just said the word. And he said, my blood pressure came into alignment with my body. They were his words. And he said, and my heart has stopped beating. I was thinking, well, I wish mine had stopped palpitating because I'm worried about him. Because sitting next to someone that's so full of fear can jump all over the plane. So I was speaking peace to everybody on the plane as well as to my heart that was pounding. And we start to come, you know, over the area of Manchester and we're nearly at Newcastle. And, you know, I'm looking at my watch and thinking, please, Lord, you know, get this plane down sooner because I've decreed it out of my mouth. You know, the flight normally takes an hour from London to Newcastle. We came down in 45 minutes and we were getting off the plane within 45 minutes. As we got off the plane and we were collecting our luggage, the guy came up to me again. He said, please, Pam. And he said, I'm asking you, can you be on every flight that I have to take? My answer, obviously I laughed and I smiled at him, but I said, no, I can't. I said, but Jesus can. I said, always remember that Jesus will sit next to you and hold your hand, even if it's the white knuckle experience, which my hand, I'm not very sturdy person. He hurt my hand. He squeezed it so tight. In fact, I think the blood stopped flowing into my hand. But you know, it was worth it. Every inch of that experience was worth it to tell him how precious he is in God's sight, to be able to be an instrument or a vessel that says, look, I'm looking at all of you today and I know that God has a purpose and a destiny. He wants to wipe away your hurt, your frustrations. He wants to wipe out all the things that have caused you not to look at him anymore. Because I know that everybody in this room has heard his name. How do I know that? Because I had a dream last night. Maybe this isn't why I slept so well. I tossed and turned most of the night. My duvet ended up on the floor. I'm in a single bed with a double duvet. That's impossible, right? But I'm just telling you how much I tossed and turned last night. And I saw me standing here in a meeting room similar to this. Now you're gonna laugh at me, but I had a hairbrush, not a mic, okay? It was like I was practicing with a hairbrush to talk to people. And I said to people, how many of you know Jesus? How many of you, don't put your hands up, okay? I'm just helping you. How many of you know Jesus? How many of you have heard his name? And some people put their hands up. Some people put their head down. Some people put their hoods up. Because, you know, shame does that. Or tries to conceal us. We try to hide. Let me tell you, we can't hide from Jesus anymore. He loves you so much. And he wants to come into your life. He wants you to have his Holy Spirit that will see you through. He wants to take all those blemishes off of your life that have condemned you. You've condemned yourselves. And he says, I'm going to wash you. And that's what baptism is. It washes all of that garbage off of us. So So, you know, we're going to have to clean the pool today because Thomas has been through some stuff. True? But look at the man, not the boy. Look at the man. He says, God, you did it for me. So I want to give my life back to you. So God, as I go through the water and you cleanse me of all those things that have tried to attach itself to me, God, you're going to free me. You're going to work signs, wonders, and miracles in my life. You're going to be the God, the true, 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 true living God. Amen. There's one last thing I want to do. Steph, Sandy, and myself and my husband bought a little gift for Thomas. I like to give gifts. Some of you have got apples. I do apologize if you didn't get an apple. But it was just a little activation to wake you up this morning. I didn't see anyone take a bite, so you've been very good. But Steph, could you bring me what's under my chair, please? You know, when I asked God, you know, what can we give to Thomas that will make him realize, just stay with me, just realize how important he is and how special he is and how much God has for him. And even the wrapping paper says a special something just for you. So no one else can steal it, okay? I'm just warning you, hands off what's in here. Thomas, would you just come down here for a moment, please? Look how bold he is in his royal robe. And his the boss, he wishes, slippers. So would you like to open this?
Can do.
See, don't you love Thomas? He just, whatever, can do, if I have to. Take that for you. Take that one.
Star.
No, you're not a star.
It's a boat.
It's a boat. Let me take that for you. Keep going. There you go. What is it, Thomas?
Clock on it.
A clock. That's true. It is. Because you've sailed through some situations and you've come through on time. It's very important that he's on time with God. That's just a little nugget for Thomas. We love you. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
We think you're a great person and we know that God has so much for you.
So we bless you, Thomas. Thank you. Amen. Our God is amazing, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, just as Pam was saying that, you know, there was protections being on me. I've been in an aeroplane where it set on fire when we're in mid-flight. I've been in an aeroplane where it busted, one of the tires bust on landing. And that's an experience in itself as it swerves all over the runway. But I'm still here.
Yes, amen.
Yes. That's just a few of the things. Yeah.
Trying to encourage David.
Sorry? Just to encourage David, yes. I'm still here. So he's all right. He's coming home. Yes. Yeah, we're all different, aren't we? Our lives are all different. We've got different challenges. And for each one of us here that knows Jesus, we could go around and we could get a completely different testimony. You know, there's so many variations. And this is where it's my turn to get Pam thinking, what the hang's he going to do now? It's a bit like making a cup of tea, isn't it? The variations. You know, it's the easy way is get a mug, get a tea bag, put it in, put a bit of water in. But then you can develop it a little bit, can't you? You can get a teapot. You can become posh. Now, the problem with the teapot is, do you have to warm the pot before you make the tea, or do you have it cold when you make the tea?
Or shall I say, if you want to get even more complicated, go to Hetty's Tea Rooms in Pitlochry. And what? Oh, yes, it's not as posh as that, actually. I didn't say Betty's, I said Hetty's. We can't afford Betty's prices. And there they get the water temperature. They take the temperature of the water. It's an exact temperature. Then they put the tea bag in. They bring the teapot to your table with a timer. And you're told, do not pour the tea till the timer is there, at the right, it is run through. Then you take the tea bag out. Then your cup of tea is just right. Yeah. See, how about that for making a cup of tea? But you know, the end result is the same. The cup of tea, isn't it? Likewise, for us on our journey to know Jesus, the end result can be the same, but the journey, the process, is different. And you know that journey can be as easy or as hard as we want to make it. Our life can be like that tea bag spinning around. All sorts of things happening. But when that tea bag touches the water, it stops spinning. When Jesus is in the driving seat, we're in safe hands. He knows when to lower us down from the anguish and the trauma that we're in, and he knows when to lift us up from the low places. He knows how to make a good brew with your life. All we have to do is let him. Show that again, Sharon, can you? And just to think about, do you want to let him make a good brew in your life? Okay, we're going to go into the baptism part now. If you want to come down to this end or turn around and see, so you can see what's happening, you'll still need to see the screen because we're doing one more song before Tom comes through. He's just getting changed at the minute. Yeah, so, yeah. If you've got something that you want to say over Tom, your picture, scripture, prophetic word, can you come to this end and we're going to get the microphone on so it can be recorded and then we can get it transcribed. Yeah, just as, yeah, it's just, I'm going to start something first. Tom's already prayed the prayer of commitment with Pam a few weeks ago where he repented and he asked for forgiveness. It tells us in the Bible the next step is baptism. Peter said, change your life. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins are forgiven. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift that Pam was talking about. The promise, this promise, is targeted to you and to your children, but also to all who are far away. Whoever, in fact, our Master God invites. God sent Jesus to save us all. No exceptions. Baptism is an act of obedience. It's an outward act or expression of what is happening on the inside. When there's even the spirit realm where things are changing. The spirit realm changes and then the natural realm changes. One of the last recorded things that Jesus said to his disciples is recorded by Mark in Mark 16. Go into the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Now that's something that we truly believe on in this church. For healing for deliverance. And it's special time for Tom, but if anybody wants prayer for anything after the service, yeah, as we carry on with the service, please do come and ask. Yeah, baptism changes things. I know that very well from my point of view. I would never speak. I was as shy as can be. I would do nothing. I was in the back room all the time. And then baptism, stood on the steps of the baptistry and spoke for the first time in my life in front of 70 people. And since then, God's just been, come on, lad, get going. Yes. Yeah, baptism changes things. We're equipped by God to do. To do what? But you are the ones chosen by God. Chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do his work and to speak out for him. To tell others of the night and day differences he made for you. From nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. Amen. Okay.
Hi, Thomas. You got a very famous ancestor, and his name is King David. Because it said of King David that he was a man after God's heart. And you're a man after God's heart. The first time I saw you, God showed me your heart. He showed me a heart of love. He showed me a heart of compassion. He showed me a heart that longs to see others set free. And God has given you such a heart. You're a heart man, not a head man. You're a heart man. And you'll find that in the years to come, God is going to increase and grow that heart inside you. And you're going to reach out with that heart of love and that heart of compassion that Christ has given you. And you're going to touch many people and see them healed, set free, and come to him.
Very simply, Thomas, this is a time to leave the old and move into the new.
Yeah, the scripture that we felt God gave was, we all know it's the Lord my shepherd. I love it in the Passion Translation. It says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. And he offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives me. He opens before me paths to God's pleasure, and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honour to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely, for you are ever near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. And afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. And I feel God's really saying, Thomas, he is your best friend. And he's going to prove himself as your best mate and always there for you. And he's going to take away the stuff that you long for him to take away.
Thank you.
It's just one verse from the first chapter of Philippians, where Paul says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns."
Tom, when I was praying for you this morning, I saw a picture of you standing with your arms open, and behind you was a wall. It was like, it appeared to be like a wall of water, but you were holding it back, and I felt God said he's going to use you as a prayer warrior to hold back the forces of evil.
It's not very spiritual, I'm afraid, but I feel God saying, no more eagles in the chicken coop. I was reading a book by Colin Urquhart the other day called My Dear Son, and as I read this book, obviously I'm going to paraphrase now, but it said, "My dear son, I have known you since the day you were conceived. I have been with you in every aspect of your life. Everything that's happened to you over your life has not been wasted. I have been there. I know exactly what's been happening to you all your life, and I have worked my purposes out in you. Now I am sending you out to those that need to hear the message that you have received." There are many young people who are floundering around in this world at the moment, in Homewood Spottingmore, in Hull, in East Riding and throughout the world, that need to hear the message that you have received, that God changes lives, because God has changed you. Yeah. And so Thomas, I know that God is with you. He's been with you from the very beginning of your conception, and he has worked his purposes out in your life. May God bless you.
Do you repent of all known sin and renounce evil?
I don't. Do you accept and trust Jesus Christ as your Saviour?
I don't. Will you obey Christ and serve him in the church?
With his help, I will.
Amen.
Said before there, I read the verse out, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called and set apart for God. And we said we believe in healing. We believe in deliverance. We believe that our God can do all things. Amen. Nothing's impossible. So that's me speaking it out. Now it's your turn to speak it out. Because this is our declaration that we have been speaking out for weeks now, and it's for us to get hold of it big time, because when we get hold of what it says on there, we are that royal priesthood, we are the chosen people, we are the holy ones, that we are the miracle workers, that we are the glory carriers.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's a yes, that's an amen, every single one of us is. So, I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do. So, all things are possible for each one of us. We've just got to get this into gear to realize it. So, well, bless you all. I trust you've enjoyed that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, special time. We're carrying on, though. There's drinks there. Then there'll be a meal set out before very long. So you're very welcome to stay for that. Yeah. So I just want to bless you all with health and strength. Yes. Every single cell in our bodies. to be restored, to be healed, to be a blessed people moving in the favour of God.
Amen.
Amen.